Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So let's talk about altcoins versus Bitcoin, because I know you made a ton of money in crypto, specifically altcoins, yeah. DeFi, NFTs. Now you're kind of just sitting in cash. Would you recommend people hold them for the long term, invest in them for the long term?
Altcoins are shit.
Okay.
So they're shit because you're investing in like ICOs, and you're basically investing into like pre-seed companies that you don't know if they're going to do something or not. I run things in cycles, right? So I'm not married to any token, any project, any founder. I'm not a fanboy of anybody, dude. Yeah. I'm here to make my money and I'm out.
Yeah.
So I run on momentum, right? So if I understand that momentum plays are going to go towards DeFi, I'm going to position myself in DeFi before everybody else positions themselves in DeFi. So we were already playing DeFi in 2019, bro. Mm. When Uniswap just launched, like we were on all the DEXs. We were running liquidity pools. We were well informed. So when CZ from Binance hops on Clubhouse and says, oh yeah, there's this project that Binance is partnering with called PancakeSwap. You know, we were going to launch our own chain to compete with Uniswap. I said, I'm going to bet on this motherfucker, bro. This guy took BNB token when I bought it at $2 in 2017 to $600.
Wow.
This guy's going to push liquidity into his own DEX
Sure. So
that he can run his BUSD and his BNB token pumps.
Mm.
So I put most of my net worth into PancakeSwap. Over like the extension of like a year and a half.
Yep.
And it ended up pretty well.
What was your multiple on that?
At least 20x, 25.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty good play.
And that was most of your network?
But it was in transitions, right? So I would come in, come out. Because remember, bro, the beautiful thing about DeFi is you had staking pools.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say buy my PancakeSwap token, Cake, which is tatted on my neck because it was obvious. And I would stake it.
Yeah.
And I would stake it. There was one point where it was like 5,000% APY. So I was printing Cake a day.
Seems like a Ponzi.
It is a Ponzi. Everything is a Ponzi, brother. It's all a Ponzi.
It's true.
The dollar is a Ponzi.
Yep.
Bitcoin is a Ponzi. Everything's a Ponzi. Why? Because you're reliant on hoping that the next guy will buy it off of you for a little bit more than you bought it for.
Yep.
And if somebody buys it off of you for less than you bought it for, then you get upset.
Yep.
He's like, ah, shit, it's not worth that much. So it's all intrinsic. It's all a Ponzi. It's a Ponzi based off of what? Good faith and trust. Mm. Just like the FDIC.
Yep.
The FDIC is insured by what? The good faith and credit of the United States of America. Your FDIC is insured by what? Air. Everything is insured by air. So mm-hmm. Now I was like, okay, might as well just make my plays on momentum. Halfway through the bull run, I said, shit is looking scammy, dude. Like, there's these actors coming out creating tokens that are going to $2-5 billion valuations, market caps in months. How? It makes no sense. So then I started looking into how inflated currencies were being pushed with regards to exchange tokens and DAO tokens and holding tokens or voting right tokens. For example, FTT, mm-hmm. right? Or Solana.
Yep.
And I was, when was it? I think it was 2020. I heard about Solana and it was at $4. And just the name alone, the ecosystem, just sounded like an absolute fraud. And then another one that I shorted that I made a lot of money was TUSD, Terra.
Yep. That was your biggest short, wasn't it?
Well, my biggest short was Luna.
Mm.
Was it Luna?
Yeah, you said, what was it, like 50K to
was it Luna?
3 million? Yeah, it was Luna and UST.
Yeah, UST. And the reason I knew UST was a scam, I just looked at the logo. I swear to you, it was a logo of a world and a US flag on top. I'm like, bro, what the fuck is this? Who's gonna put their dollars into this thing? And then I started looking at the fact of how they were managing their basket of assets, and their stability was based on the most unstable currencies. Basket of assets with Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana. Their own tokens were the foundation for the currency. It was absolutely like ridiculous, dude. Yeah. It was stupid. So I had all these basket of assets that were inflated, and I was like, Bitcoin's obviously gonna go under 65,000, which means this dollar pegging, yep. unless the guys know how to trade like absolute animals and control the market,
yep.
they're going to lose money.
Yeah.
Therefore, TUSD is going to lose money.
Yeah.
So I just shorted the fuck out of it. 50K yeah. to 2.1 to 2.6 million. I forget the exact number.
Wow.
In 5 days.
That's a big
I mean, I called it publicly too.
I saw.
I called
story.
It publicly.
You can
it
go
was,
on your highlights.
It was Solana 106 yep. or 116. I forget the exact number. It's been so long. And I shorted that 5 days, dude. I made the call publicly and I told people this shit is going to zero. I didn't think it was going to implode so quickly.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to slow rug.
It was a one day.
But that shit was crazy. Do you know what happened with Doquan yesterday?
He got arrested.
But you know what they found in his body? A ledger.
A ledger in his
motherfucker
ass.
Motherfucker ate a ledger, bro. What a fucking bitch.
That's crazy.
Imagine being so botted about money that you give up your freedom for it. Like you have to put a ledger up your ass.
It was a Trezor, actually.
Even worse.
They're thicker, bro.
Even worse. So this motherfucker is in a situation where his entire life now revolves around a couple coins that are imaginary. It makes no sense.
He's going to jail, bro.
So now I'm like George Soros, bro. I'm in the business of shorting fucking Ponzi's and scams.
Yeah.
Because it's all, bro, 90% of the shit's out there's a scam. Yeah. Look what just happened with Square and Cash App.
Yep.
All their numbers are inflated. I lost 40 G's on that trade.
Yeah.
But their numbers are all inflated. They're all a bunch of scamming rats. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to find the scammers and I'm just going to bet against them. I did the same thing with, what was the walking Ponzi in crypto? They had a token.
Oh, on Solana? It was the one that had like the shoes.
Steppin. It was Steppin. Uh-huh. And what was their token called? I forget. It was some bullshit token.
Yeah.
I'll give you the premise of their product so that you understand how gimmicky it is and how easy it was to short. Their premise is you need to mint an NFT that costs $700 in order to use those that NFT to give you access to walk to earn. That's what they called it. Walk to earn.
Dude, my trainer was doing it.
You walk your steps.
He's making $400 a day.
And you earn money.
Yeah.
I'm like, the fuck? How's that sustainable? And then I realized that what they were doing is they were taking the initial NFT sale in order to participate using that revenue to pay out people that were walking.
Classic.
So then I was like, what happens when no more people buy the original NFT?
Sure.
There's no more liquidity to pay people out.
Yeah, no new money.
So now people are left with all these bullshit expensive NFTs
yep.
and walking days to pay for it. Days. It made no sense. I was like, I'm going to short the fuck out of it. I think it was GMT. GMT is what it was called.
Yep.
It was at $1.67. Short, it was $500,000 short. Wrote it to about 47 cents. Made $1 million on that trade.
Jesus.
But it was easy. Because obviously, when you understand the fundamentals of how they're trying to make money or what their product value is, it doesn't work.
Sure.
People need to be incentivized financially to work out.
Yep.
That's not sustainable.
So I love what you do. And the reason why I came to the Capital Club when I found you on Instagram is because you talk so openly about the Ponzi's. And I've always had this mindset. I never got in altcoins. I never traded shit coins. But what I did do wrong was I knew they were Ponzi's and I did not take advantage and short them and profit monetarily. So that's something that I looked up for you too. But what I wanted to ask you was for someone like me who understands Bitcoin, it's scarce, $21 million imploding. This is somewhere I can store my wealth. Do you think for me selling some in the next bull run when the greed gets crazy is a smart move? Or?
Yes, because you need to be fluid.
Yeah.
You need to bro, you can't be a Bitcoin fanboy. You need to be a Colin fanboy. Bitcoin is here to make Colin win, not Colin here to make Bitcoin win.
Mm.
So I'm using Bitcoin to get rich. I don't give a fuck if one day I have to move all my money to Singaporean dollars or to some bullshit currency, or if one day Litecoin becomes the world reserve currency. I don't care. I'm going to move it accordingly. My job is to do three things: create wealth, multiply it, and preserve it. So you run through three cycles. First is creating. It's very hard to create money or create wealth inside of the markets because most people lose.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to create wealth outside of the markets, a business, a job. Then you multiply your money. You can't multiply your money through work because you only have X amount of hours, but you multiply it through investing. So create money, whatever money you're willing to lose, invest it to multiply it, and then what? Understand where cycles start and finish, and then you go into preservation.
Mm.
You sell and you stay on cash. Today I was reviewing Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway portfolio of the 90s and the early 2000s, just to understand how he was thinking.
Sure.
And there was times, there was years where he was 50% cash. I'm talking tens of billions of dollars. There was years where the market was roaring and he was in 50% cash.
Wow.
Why? Because he's playing the long-term game.
He's waiting for the crash.
He's waiting, bro. And he's playing the long-term game because, yeah, sure, you make 10% here, 30% here. But you don't also want to be the guy whose net worth is fluctuating millions of dollars because
that's what happened to me.
Exactly.
I round tripped it.
So you go, you're doing like this,
I multiplied, and then it went down. Didn't get to the last
one. And that's where you multiply and preserve.
Because I listened to everyone on Twitter. I listened to
the Twitter heads.
To all the Bitcoin maxis, and you know, I thought, you know what? Hey, I'm open for waiting for 10 years because I know where Bitcoin's going. But now in this, you know, year bear market, I did not get to take advantage and buy Bitcoin at 15K. I had to basically just survive.
Yeah.
I couldn't thrive.
Yeah. You had to stick it out.
I had to stick it out, bro. It was one of the hardest things I ever did. And I asked you, you know, should I sell here? And it was at like, what, 20K? And you were
like, no, not at this.
Yeah, you missed it.
I was like, you should have sold before, bro. Might as well sit on it.
Yeah. So would you say for me next cycle, you know, is it something where you would trade like shit coins again, or would you?
I would never invest in old altcoin projects. So things that I've already had their like boom, like I would never buy Solana again
or
like
PancakeSwap.
I would never buy AVAX. Why? I might buy PancakeSwap because they're actually currently fucking savages and they actually work. They have a ton of money and they're still really backed by Binance.
Yeah,
that's the only one because DeFi is still such a big space. But big projects that used to be like hot, like AVAX and Solana, these projects that were like the household names, I'm never going to invest in one.
There's going to be new ones, right?
Exactly. Because there's all going to be the new hype. The new hype's going to be AI integration, all this gimmicky bullshit. So what I'm going to do, the same thing. I'm going to figure out who are the winners, who are the guys that know how to market, who are the guys that know how to push momentum, who are the guys that are connected with the market makers and the exchanges, invest in those companies, bet on those people. And once I start seeing cracks in the system, sell and short the fuck out of it, dude.
For our viewers watching this, how do you find those projects? What is your thought process and, you know, the actionable items that you do in order to locate those people, those projects? And then how do you sell? Because you told me, you know, your very simple method of when you know how to sell, those little, you know, points or notifications that come up in life where you're like, I'm out.
Yeah, so what I would say is I look at macro trends. I don't even look at crypto to know if I'm going to buy or sell crypto.
Wow.
Like I look at the US dollar.
Yeah.
What's the strength of the US dollar? Are we printing more money? Are we not printing more money?
Mm-hmm.
That's very simple right there. Because why? Money sometimes, I believe, is finding a place to go. And I think that partially crypto was created as a place to siphon over a lot of the leftover fiat currency because there's so much in the system.
Sure.
Bro, that shit went to $2 trillion.
Yep.
Peak market cap, 2.5. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of dollars. And now, instantly, wiped.
Right out.
So what I'm seeing is market pumps with US dollar inflation. They inject capital in their banks, hedge funds, because remember, they're getting loans at 0%, 0.1, 0.5. Where do you think they're dumping that shit? They're dumping
crypto,
it on the markets.
Everything.
And then what are they doing? Running promos, running ads.
Hyping the
running
shit
campaigns, running news outlets, running interviews. Sponsoring celebrities, Tom Brady.
Celebrities.
Sponsoring Tom Brady. And then the motherfuckers rug you.
In the Super Bowl ad.
In broad daylight. People are buying this Wonderland Time bullshit ass token. I remember I was in Puerto Rico and Wonderland Time was this token on AVAX chain.
Yeah.
And it was this token that basically would let you yield money, but it was like 14,000% APY. Like
seems sustainable.
So I'm with one of my buddies in Puerto Rico, and it was at $25 million market cap before anybody really knew about it. And we're like, dude, we should totally get in it because it's a fork of another project called OHM, O-H-M.
Yep.
And that project did really well. And we started seeing this pick up traction on the AVAX chain. So we put in 55K each into that. It was like Hail Mary. That shit runs up to $770. Then I start seeing all the YouTubers talk about it. They're like, dude, this guy that created this Wonderland Time thing, he's the new DeFi god. Like, everybody starts dumping, pouring their money. I start seeing TikToks. What am I going to do with my 14,000% APY? Well, I'm going to be depositing $30,000 and my return will give me enough to buy a Lambo monthly payment. And I started seeing TikToks like this.
Oh, boy.
Sold, done, out of it. Market implodes. I get into it, and I think at about like $800, $900 or something like that. And it rides up to like 11,000 or something crazy per token. And I remember at 9, 10, 11,000, everybody was putting their money in. Oh, everybody was talking about it. As soon as everybody started talking about it, I left.
Tell me when you sold, I think you sold everything at this point, maybe all your Bitcoin, but I think one of the FaZe Clan guys hit you up or something.
Yeah, so one of the founders of FaZe hit me up, and this was when DeFi was going crazy.
Yep.
And he hit me up and he's like, should I buy SafeMoon? And I was like, fuck, bro.
It's over.
And this was literally right before the first dump. Do you remember the first dump?
Yeah,
it was literally right before that.
Wow.
Maybe like 2 weeks.
Wow.
And that's when I got rid of all my cake and then I rebought at $20. So that shit spiked, rebought at like, no, $8. Rebought at $8 and ran that back up to 36. And the reason I did that was all the noobs were getting in. The exit liquidity. There's no way a guy whose entire life is based around gaming and entertaining people knows anything about financial management, knows anything about risk and reward ratios when he's out here asking me if SafeMoon is worth buying because he's trying to make an extra couple bucks. Mm. That was the first one. And then the ultimate market crash was when an influencer came to me. He's like, bro, I've been talking to all the leading teams, like the founding team from Shiba.
Yeah.
Shiba Inu, that basically was like the Doge competitor. Wait, I can't say it in public, but I'll tell you afterward who owns the project.
Mm.
Insane. Insane insider shit.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I got a phone call from this guy. They're dumping the entire market. And that's when Shiba Inu had an entire explosive run up.
Yep.
And all the influencers dumped on everybody, bro. Yep. I know it because I saw everybody do it. I was like, let me get out. And I got out. So it's really understanding when the noobs come in, you leave.
Yep.
When nobody's in, you jump in.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So when it's boring, you just get in when it's boring.
When it's scary, dude, why wouldn't you? Like, I got out of crypto completely because there is no, it doesn't feel safe.
Yeah.
Right? Especially. But I'm still going to short the fuck out of this thing.
Sure.
And I did, and it went well. I feel like I could have done a lot better, but I'm happy.